Hey yo, welcome to the winner's circle. Polish your crown. Here to optimize your workflow. That's ServiceNow. This ain't your typical run-of-the-mill tech talk. OGs, we're the best in the field. We'll help you level up and build your credibility. Now let me ask you one question, who the realest be? Unapologetic, if we said it, then we meant it. Foundation built on trust, authentic, so it's cemented. Better make way, only facts in the booth, you're now tuned in.
This episode is brought to you by Clear Sky. Clear Sky is the only identity governance and security solution built natively on ServiceNow. It optimizes enterprise identity and risk management with a platform-first approach. Look, we have built a great digital world where we can plug and play people into our applications and information globally. Great for speedy operations, but can be a real nightmare for risk and security and governance, who are left asking, who has access to what? Who authorized that? Should they still have it? When's the last time we checked? This is why CJ and the Duke love ClearSky. All of the benefit of a company with decades worth of ILM and IGA experience with a solution that's built natively on ServiceNow, the platform that we all trust. ClearSky, optimized identity management built natively on ServiceNow. Check the description below for an episode CJ and I did on ClearSky, as well as how to contact them. Okay, folks, today we have a huge treat for you. I was just browsing the super secret MVP channels where all the MVPs chat and plan to take over the world and such things. And I saw a story about somebody who had upgraded their big financial client to Washington in 8 days using no exotic external tools, just what's in ServiceNow. He is a friend of the channel already. And so we welcome back Mark Rothoff to chat with us again about this amazing upgrade experience while it's still fresh.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure. Let's have some fun.
For sure, man. So set the stage here. What version were they at? How big an instance? How complex? What were we staring at down the barrel before we decided, hey, let's upgrade this thing in 8 days?
Yeah, actually, they were a version behind. So they were actually on Utah. And that's already a bit of the reason why we went to the upgrade in a week, because I got some pocket change to make this change and to upgrade in a week. The instance itself, it's one of the largest financial companies in the Netherlands. The instance is not that big anymore because I've been busy with my database footprint work. So the footprint was cut in half. So now it's only 7 terabytes.
7 terabytes.
Only 7 terabytes.
it was a bit more, but yeah, then I came along. That's my job, I guess. Uh-huh. So yeah, and how complex is it? I don't know. You can always argue on it. It's an instance of something like 8 or 9 years old. Obviously, the default ITSM stuff, some ITSM Pro stuff, a lot of integrations, a lot of custom work. Also, some things really legacy. It's still a lot of workflow, for example, and still not really applying Flow Designer. But yeah, it's just an instance like we see a lot, I guess. That's a little bit background about the instance. Yeah.
The thing about your post on the Super Secret Slack channel that really, I think, takes something that's already extraordinary and then elevates it to like the next level of like outer space is that you said that you did it all using only the free tools in the platform.
That's correct. Yeah. Just normal upgrade preview, upgrade monitor, also with the cloning, just the clone definitions, the clone preservers excludes, clone cleanup scripts, ATF is in place. Also some bits are not in place. So like we're not using Cloud Runner. Still, we're not using Cloud Runner. We really have to. So that's also one of the things for the evaluation, which we'll have in a few days. But yeah, just only out of the box, free available plugins and capabilities. So we also actually used a few of the new Washington bits, or actually Vancouver bits, like the skipped record rules. But we couldn't apply it automatically because the customer is coming from Utah. We had to run them manually. But yeah, we also applied that. So really nice to see, because I guess not that many customers are still or are already using it. But yeah, things like skipped record rules can help. But yeah, just the out of the box available free capabilities, yeah, and things like ATF. So yeah, it's all possible.
I think we should break some of those down a bit, because there might be people, some of them might be on this call, who have never heard of a couple of those things. So I know that the clone management tools are awesome. ATF is ATF. Cloud Runner. Tell us what Cloud Runner is.
Ooh, what is Cloud Runner? Basically, if you would run ATF, especially a few releases ago, then you would run ATF, keep your laptop open, keep your screen open, keep it running on the background. But you, yeah, it was really an attended thing, right? You really have to be on it. And then a few releases ago, ServiceNow already introduced something that you could spin up your own Linux or Windows server, and you could run the ATF from there. But now, since, I don't know, 2 or 3 releases, something like that, I don't know exactly, ServiceNow also has Cloud Runner, where you can execute 2 runs at the same time. I don't know the exact wording, but you can run two runs at the same time on something that ServiceNow is actually hosting. If you want to perform more at the same time, then you can buy that, but at least you can do two runs in parallel. So you don't have to have your laptop still open or whatever. You would just do that through Cloud Runner. It's also pretty easy to set up. We also explored it before at the customer at Innovation Friday, and it looked really nice. But yeah, then it comes like, we really need to pick it up. It becomes a story, a backlog, et cetera. And then, yeah, then it gets a bit quiet. So that's still one of the things we do need to apply. But yeah, that's one of the things for the evaluation.
So the advantage of Cloud Runner is that you don't need to have your laptop open and...
Yeah, that's one of the advantages, of course, but especially when you're talking about upgrade in a week, then the timelines are so short. When are you going to do those tests? Well, ideally, you would start them at 6 o'clock in the evening or something.
Right.
Right. And not at daytime, or that someone especially needs to jump on their laptop at 10 o'clock in the evening or something.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it has way more advantages. And also, if you can do 2 tests at the same time, why shouldn't we split the ATF suites or tests? So now the execution takes about 8 or 9 hours. Well, maybe we can run 2 at the same time and it only takes 5 hours. And you don't have to attend your laptop all the time.
Right. But it still dumps all the findings and stuff in the same place as if you had attended it on your laptop.
Yeah, right? The eventual results and everything, that stays the same. There's no difference in that. So it just makes life easier. You can really run it unattended at every time. It makes you way more flexible. I see a good potential for that. Yeah.
Did you set out to set the record for world's fastest upgrade of a humongous company, or did this just happen by like happenstance and you were like, you got into it and you were like, you know what, I think I can get this done in a week?
Yeah. For such a large company, it's quite impressive. I did do upgrades of a week at smaller companies, but then you're talking about instances of less than 1 terabyte. Yeah. And then also as a really small user base. But this is, yeah, quite interesting. But yeah, then it's also a bit like, where did this come from? And I'm now at this company for, I think, 1.5 years. I'm working part-time for them 3 days a week. And the first upgrade that I saw there was, yeah, it's the typical 4 or 5 weeks. A lot of waste I'm seeing in the time spent and how the testing goes and with stakeholders and everything. So already the upgrade following, we improved a lot, and also the change freeze was also limited to a few days instead of like 1.5 week. But still, I was like, come on, we should shorten this. We can do this within a week. Come on. And it's pretty difficult in such a large organization to get things moving and changing. But
yes, it is. That's an understatement.
This is one of the things, but this is one of the things we did get moving, and it It also was a bit because we actually skipped the last upgrade because we actually were planning to upgrade in January to Vancouver. But then, of course, we have like 8 different ServiceNow teams. It's like 35 or 40 developers. And then one of the teams just says, yeah, we don't have time to upgrade. Okay, so we're postponing the whole Vancouver upgrade because one of the teams thinks that they're busy. Well, no one is busy. Maybe some individuals are busy, but no teams or departments or companies are really busy. That's for people who cannot organize their own work. But yeah, one of the trade-offs. But one of the trade-offs of that was actually, well, then we're going to upgrade in a week. So that's a bit how this came along.
That is crazy to me. And you already touched on it, right? Like the typical process is 4 to 5 weeks, right? I typically recommend with my clients about a 4-week process in my document, right? And I think I might have done it as quickly as 3 if I'm following a formal process, right? Like when I was a customer and I owned the instance, I probably did it quicker, but I cut a lot of corners.
Yeah, back when it was just ITSM too, right? And a couple of custom apps.
Yeah, much smaller company too, right? Like we were really just running like change management. That was the only external facing thing that we cared about. And so it was much easier to just flip some switches and nobody really cared. Like I couldn't imagine upgrading a humongous financial organization on top of that in a week. That's just amazing to me. So kudos for even taking that on. And especially it sounds like you already had like, you've been there a while. So you have some history with these folks in terms of being not necessarily being the most receptive to the upgrade process at all.
Yeah, it's also because you are there then already for like 1.5 years. You see how is the dynamics within the company, what's happening, where is all the waste. So then you think we should be able to do this differently. And obviously we did also do some other things like in the background, I was working on instance scan, so I could run it before a clone, after a clone, before an upgrade, after an upgrade. So you would see some things. Obviously we did upgrade one of the instances already a month ago to see, hey, what are the skipped updates on patch 0? So we know a bit, what can we expect? And we knew, one of the things on employee center broke. So at that moment, we could already create a support case for something with AI search. So there's a little bit of preparation. Right. But the upgrade itself, that's just, 1 week. It is quite challenging, though, because, you want to clone instances. You want to upgrade instances. You want to run your ATFs. And if you already look at the timelines for that, the duration, like the clone, also because they do the upgrade on demand. So the clone already takes like 8 or 9 hours.
Right.
The upgrade itself, also about 8 hours. Then you have ATFs, also 8-9 hours. So
now you're left for 4 days.
The timelines are getting pretty heavy or pretty, I don't know.
So when you said it took like 7 days, Were the hours you counting the hours where these things were just chugging along, minding their own business?
No, it's just really in that week. Some of the evenings, nothing was happening. But some of the evenings, indeed, the clones were just going. The upgrade started at 10 at night on a Friday night. So it was finished on Saturday morning. It's also a bit like, just do it. Because if you talk about customers with this or even if it's for 2 weeks upgrade, then there are so many objections and people jumping into fences and they see all kinds of issues. So you also just have to do it. And also in this case, it's Washington patch 1 hotfix 2. It's pretty fresh. And what you still hear a lot of people saying is like, oh, let's wait a few patches and before it gets stable and the first issues are out. But that's people mentioning that because they hear other people saying it. And because people are already saying that for years and years and years. It's not, ServiceNow is not how it was 5 years or 10 years ago. If now patch 1 comes out, we already had patch 0 before. And already the first hotfix is coming in and the second hotfix is coming. And now actually already patch 2 is out. So the level is way higher than it used to be. So you don't need to wait for patch 4, 5, 6 or something. That's right. Also, yeah, that's ancient history. So people talking about those things, they're a bit stuck in the past.
Yeah. So Mark, you mentioned a lot of people popping out and saying basically no. And I think one of the keys to the success and being able to deliver on this is knowing who to talk to get a yes. So talk a little bit about how you cut through all of those no's to find the right person to green light this thing and get you that yes that you needed so that you can do it.
I didn't do so much myself in that area. Just on the background, I was talking with, well, mainly three people within the company and also the owner of ServiceNow within the company. And eventually he also just had something like, we just have to do it. And also because before also we skipped the previous upgrade just because of time constraints and we're already behind. And so they also have a feeling like, hey, we need to do something and we need to make progress and we do want to also save time for the future, because if we can pull this off, that would mean a lot for the next upgrades and how long we have a development freeze or whatever. Because now actually we didn't have a development freeze at all. So that's also a huge change. So yeah, it was, yeah, I don't know. It was also just do it. And yeah, and also the people really owning ServiceNow also really need to be enthusiastic about this and see the opportunity and the possibility and just do it and just believe in it. And yeah, one of the big differences, of course, is that if you also do this for 3, 4, 5 weeks, and it really depends on how many people are in the company, of course, but then not all the ServiceNow teams or all the ServiceNow developers will be dedicated busy with upgrading or dedicated available. They will just also be busy with doing other stuff. If you do this upgrade in a week, then way more people are dedicated available. So that's also a key factor to getting this to a success. And even
I do want to make sure that we hit this one point, because I don't think anybody can decide, hey, we're going to do this in a week and then execute it that way. I believe, just because it's you that was there, that there was significant amounts of effort put in beforehand such that you could execute in a week. Is that true?
Yeah, I think that helps.
Whether it was also all in one big bite or like a little bit at a time, but I think there's a lot of customers that don't even have like ATF running in any capacity. So I wonder if you could talk to the level of effort to get cloning management ready, ATF, Cloud Runner, the skipped record rules. What was the journey to get to the point where you could do 1 week upgrades with zero change freeze?
Yeah. Well, I think actually we still have a lot to improve. If you look at the cloning process or how many manual steps we're doing or how long the process takes, but already a lot was in place. And also it helps that I'm there. It helps that you have a certain name in the space, a certain track record, that's true. We did perform an upgrade a month earlier on a different instance to just see how big is it, what is happening, what is going on. I was already working on instance scan, so that customer also now has like 800 scan checks in place. ATFs, a lot of ATF is being used there is in place still during the upgrade in a week. They expanded it massively, but there was already a lot in place. If you don't have the cloning under control, you don't have ATFs, or you have a lot of stakeholders that want to do every single piece manually, then it becomes really difficult, of course. Then then pulling something like this off will be really difficult. So you do have to have some pieces in place. And some of the teams also do almost all of the stakeholder testing themselves. So also the number of stakeholders involved is pretty limited. But if I look at the previous upgrades, which took 3, 4, 5 weeks, then you would just say, oh, we're going to upgrade and you can test and whatever. And then it's all over the place. Well, when are people going to test? And now it's in 1 week and you just have, the message to the stakeholders was, that's the day that you can test. There's no other day. That's the day. not everyone really likes being put into pressure like that, but it did work. And also because it did came from higher management or people a bit higher in the hierarchy in the organization. Because I can have a certain name in the space, but if I'm just mentioning something like that, then still it won't be adopted, right? I'm not in the hierarchy of a company to make such decisions on my own or whatever. That's not going to work.
Yeah, I want to follow up a little bit on this too, because I think there's a really good relationship here between a lot of the things that you do in the ServiceNow ecosystem and what enabled you to actually get through this in a week. And one of the reasons that you're such an amazing ServiceNow MVP, right? And so a couple of weeks ago, you made a post on LinkedIn celebrating, and I say kind of celebrating because you did it in such an understated way for this accomplishment, right? But you made a post on LinkedIn talking to celebrating that your combined ServiceNow content had just reached the 1.25 million view plateau, right? That's like over a million. I can't even put the data, it's hard to even put it into words, right? Your combined ServiceNow content has reached over 1.25 million views. And when I, is that right? First, congratulations on that. That's just amazing, right?
In another 30 years, we might reach...
Right? Like CJ and the Duke in 50 years might be at the 0.25, right?
No worries. I'll contribute to that because I watch every episode. So so I'll keep contributing to that.
Well, appreciate that. But when you dive into it, because then you link to your ServiceNow community page, which has like the entirety of your catalog. And so in that catalog, I mean, you've got over 325 articles, blogs, videos, podcasts, et cetera. And like when I look through that thing, first of all, you're a reference for me, right? Like I have your content on bookmark. And whenever I need something and I can't quite figure out, I go and check your library to see if you've already written about it, right? So,
crazy.
I just want to put that out there. But like when Robert was saying how, you know, that how you set the stage by your previous work and effort to be able to do this in a week, I just wanted to point to like your previous body of work and effort and talk about how you mentioned InstaScan earlier in this conversation. You mentioned ATF earlier in this conversation. These are things that you've written about extensively that you shared with the community. And all of that stuff forms like the underpinnings of being able to execute on something like this in a week. So I just want to talk about a little bit about what drives you to create content to this level. Man, you are a machine and it's good content.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, what drives me? It's just also a lot of fun to create content and see the feedback, or also like now or what you're just saying, that's all already, a good motivation and to keep on going. But it's also, I just started creating content because of the ServiceNow ecosystem. And because, when I started, I also started from the bottom and I was just searching and, we've got the ServiceNow community and, we had Wiki and all those YouTube things and, the YouTube videos from the Duke and all awesome. And why not contribute also myself? And let's see if I can do that. But eventually, it was also for me, back then I was still working at the consultancy company. Now I'm doing this freelance. Mm-hmm. But back then it was also, you had this mandatory personal development plan and the company decides what you're doing on soft skills, hard skills. So I was also thinking like, hey, I'm creating this content and actually I'm working already on my skills and I'm taking ownership on my own journey now. Because I have to dive into subjects. I need to learn more about it. So my technical level is evolving or in different areas. And that's also fun. So I don't have that mandatory personal development plan anymore. I'm doing it myself. I'm taking ownership and I'm doing it with fun. But not the hard skills, also the soft skills. Because English is not my native language. Everything I do is in English. How do I bring a message across? obviously, I do a lot of it in writing now, but maybe eventually I will just switch to CAS. Who knows? or to videos. And then also you're working on those skills. And also then it goes more about your presentation and et cetera. So it's way more. And it's so much fun also because you're taking ownership and you're controlling where you're going. But eventually it's also just all the replies and the feedback. It's just a lot of fun. And where possible to collaborate with others, not only MVPs, but also with the MVPs collaborating. That's just a lot of fun and just a lot of motivation. And that also just keeps you going. So, that's just the main reason
That's awesome. I love that. Take ownership of your own journey. That should be almost be the title of this episode because I could just see how it applies in so many different ways from what we were just talking to, but from also how do you get from 0 to 8 days do an upgrade in a huge financial company in 0 to 8 days, right? Like you got to take ownership of that journey, right? And in part, like that 8 days started long ago when you implemented InstaScan, when you implemented ATF, right? Like when you made those, when you exercised those soft skills and made those relationships internally, right? And understood like how the business works and understood who actually had work that they could put off and who was sandbagging a little bit in terms of having availability to do testing, right? Like all of those things came into play here. And all of that to me can be summed up into saying, take ownership of your own journey, right? If you want to get success in the ServiceNow ecosystem. So man, kudos to you on that. And I love that. And that we're going to do Duke. That's the title. And I'll give you that one, Mark, free of charge.
Mark, if you don't mind, speaking of owning your own journey here, because I'm trying to get some, taking some notes for a customer of mine who wants to do everything better in ServiceNow, including upgrades. Tell us about why skipped record rules are so awesome.
Oh, why are they awesome?
Or at least handy.
Yeah, it's, it really depends with upgrades. Some customers will have 100 skipped updates. Some will have 500 every release. And actually, it's not only during releases. You also have skipped records during patches and hotfixes. Yep. You also should handle those. And I do see that's being ignored at a lot of companies. But especially with upgrades, you can have a lot of skipped records. Skipped records themselves, do take them seriously because some are of high priority, some maybe of lower priority, but actually do pick them up. Maybe I should immediately give an example. You can have a priority 5, which is a form layout on service catalog, because ServiceNow added some new fields, some new checkboxes. Mm-hmm. But if you are not taking that over, or if you are not merging that, you are missing out on that new functionality, or it will not land on the form layout. So most developers won't dive that extensively into the release notes. So they won't know of that new functionality. They won't know that you can do things without skipping, with less technical depth, that you can do it really quick, more quickly. So you really have to take those skipped records seriously and also those priority 5s. But where does skipped record rules come in? A good chunk of the skipped records will be handled every release in the same way. For example, because it's notifications which you on purpose deactivated. You're not going to activate them during the upgrade or merging or whatever. No, you did that on purpose. Or we have a ton of skipped errors, which you actually cannot handle. That's also literally in the ServiceNow docs, and that you should retain them. And several system properties, which you absolutely don't want to revert or merge, you just always want to keep. Well, for all those situations, you can make skipped record rules so that those skipped records are automatically being handled for you. And especially if you have 200 or 300 skipped records, then half of it can just automatically be handled for you. So that's a huge saver, and you don't have to go through it manually anymore. So it's less of the repetitive, not so attractive work, less chance of making mistakes in that. So that already helps. So that's one of the parts of skip record rules that you can handle those skip.
So is it kind of like just define your reaction to that skipped update once and then forever after it's that posture?
Yeah, indeed. You do that once.
You didn't have that before?
No, dumb for asking,
but it's just like...
Well, with Vancouver, it got introduced. So that's actually pretty nice. It will be automatically applied. So also when there's a patch or a hotfix or with the next upgrade, so Xanadu or Yokohama or Suri, so then it will just automatically be applied. There's also another table which keeps which records have been applied, which skipped record rules have been applied. So it's also pretty nice. But there's more to skipped record rules because you can also, for example, add tags to skipped record rules. For example, the customer I was talking about now, eight different ServiceNow teams. So actually all the skipped records are divided over the different teams. But based on some conditions, you can actually give those skipped records a tag. So one team will already have automatically 10 skipped records on their team. And another team will already automatically have 60 skipped records on their team. So also with that, it can help. So that's actually a pretty nice enhancement from the Vancouver release. Yeah, and actually you can start really basic with it, right? Just use a condition, just the condition builder, click, 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 and you're done. But you can make it more complicated by adding a script include into the condition, for example. So you can do it no code, but you can do it also a bit more.
Nice.
It's a good addition, definitely.
Wow, sounds like a good spot to leave it, huh, Corey?
Yeah, man, this has been an amazing episode, Mark. Again, take ownership of your own journey and leaving us on that nugget about the skip record rules, I think is just right. The sort of thing that you are known for in this ecosystem, right? It's just dropping those jewels on folks that in parts of the instance and then on the platform that people aren't really looking, right? And they aren't really hanging out. So I love it. And I look, man, this has been a great call, especially considering this was a bit last minute on top of it, right?
Yeah. Kudos to Mark. It's like, hey, you want to record right now? Sure. Send me the link. See, I just had this awesome mental image of like Mark sitting on a wall somewhere watching people pass by and just winging a big fist sized jewel at him. Just, oh, motherfucker.
Oh, chopping jewels.
Oh, it's an emerald. Okay.
No, babe. Yeah. I mean, I think the audience is going to love this. And Duke, before we started recording, I was telling you, say yes to everything. And then so Mark is living up to it. We reached out and he's like, yes. And here we are. And now we got a banger of an episode.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
I do want to. Oh, go ahead.
I do want to mention I did play a role in this whole upgrade and also with the initial idea of the upgrade in a week, but I didn't have to execute all of it myself. Actually, I only did limited things myself during the week. So there was just an involvement of a lot of people, and especially from two people, one from the support side and one from the owning the ServiceNow platform, and those were also really key in this whole journey. I do want to mention that. So it's not like that I'm just doing some magic and everything is happening. It's not that, it's not all credits to me or something.
I guess we're going to have to take back every good thing we said about you, Mark.
Love the modesty, man. Love the modesty.
We're 40 minutes of record. We got to cut it off, guys.
Yep.
All right. Thanks so much, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Hey, yo, welcome to the winner's circle. Polish your crown. Here to optimize your workflow. That's ServiceNow. This ain't your typical run-of-the-mill tech talk. OGs, we're the best in the field. We'll help you level up and build your credibility. Now let me ask you one question, who the realest be? Unapologetic, if we said it, then we meant it. Foundation built on trust, authentic, so it's cemented. Better make way, only facts in the booth. You're now tuned in with CJ and the Duke. What's success? I'll let you in on the scoop. Make your mind your best friend and fill it up with the truth. Come on, yeah. Make your mind your best friend and fill it up with the truth. Yeah, CJ and the Duke. What's that, huh? ServiceNow. Come on. Yeah. I said, welcome to the winner's circle. Yeah. Yeah.